Did you know that the equivalent of a garbage truck's worth of plastic is dumped in the ocean every minute? 17.6 billion pounds every year. Seabirds are dying after mistakenly eating it. I'm actor Sam Waterston, and I don't want to pollute our oceans every time I buy my groceries, go out to eat, or purchase a beverage. You deserve a plastic-free choice. Join the campaign. Go to oceana.org/plastics today.
Did you know there are over 1,000 podcasts on radio.com? Download the app or head to radio.com to listen to all your favorite national and local podcasts, including your favorite morning shows and radio shows on demand. At the top of the app homepage, click the podcast icon to discover new shows, subscribe, and manage your podcast subscriptions. Go to your app store or radio.com/download for all your podcast listening. Radio.com.
You're listening to the Dan Bernstein Show, back in 60 seconds on The Score.
This is the sound of a blizzard treat at DQ, but it also sounds like a weekend bike ride, a post-game celebration, and a sunset on the dock. Wow, doesn't a blizzard treat sound good? Stop by DQ and grab one today, like new Oreo fudge brownie. Thanks for being the sweetest fans in the world. DQ, happy tastes good.
Do one thing to protect the environment. It all starts with just one thing. While summer is a great time for recycling, some summer items should not be mixed in with your curbside recycling. Things like garden hoses, plastic planters, pool toys, squirt guns, and lawn chairs are generally not recyclable and are best donated to charity. If you have a question as to whether an item can be recycled, look for the recycling triangle and number, usually on the bottom of the product. It all starts with one thing. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
This segment is brought to you by Door Systems, now offering touch-free doors. Call 1-800-THE-DOOR.
This is the home of the first place Chicago Cubs. Listen to every game here.
Deep fly ball to left. This ball's got a chance. Long gone. Tape measure time for Wilson Contreras.
Live from the Hyundai Studios, this is 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station.
This hour is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com.
Steve Stone, White Sox TV analyst.
We've got NASA on one screen. I've got an iPad and four different screens. I don't even know where to look for the screens.
Steve's looking at weather patterns in Brunei.
This is lots of screens.
Former Cy Young Award winner.
On the mound, it is Steve Stone. He's working a little faster. He's got the curveball, throwing it more for strikes.
When you say he's changed his style, originally he was a fastballer.
Oh, he was a hard thrower.
Learned how to pitch.
Breaking down the game of baseball for more than 3.5 decades.
The great thing about this game is the understanding can be rudimentary, whether you're a first-timer, whether you've seen most every game every year for a long time. It doesn't really matter. There's something in this game for everyone.
On Twitter, at Steve Stone.
If you're listening to this on Mitch Rosen 670 The Score and all of the wondrous folks who have come through those halls, if you have a friend who has a Twitter account, call that friend and ask them for just $1.99 a month. If they'll follow Steve Stone, you can make one Steve Stone terribly happy with one follower or two followers.
Steve Stone with Dan Bernstein on 670 The Score.
3-2 Sox in the seventh inning.
Yeah, you got a left-hander in the pen and you're not going to go to the left-hander against the Lord. But they probably want to avoid a first pitch slider after the last one wound up over 420 feet away.
But if you throw first pitch fastball, does he know that you want to avoid first pitch slider and he's looking for first pitch fastball?
Sounds like Princess Bride. You put the poison. No.
We got to get Dan Bernstein to do his impersonation. It's top notch.
Never match wits with a Sicilian when death is on the line. Steve Stone joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. He is on Twitter at Steve Stone. And when Steve, this team starts winning different kinds of baseball games in different kinds of ways, it is a whole hell of a lot of fun right now.
Well, there's no doubt that this team is coming together and learning how to win as a team. And they came from a lot of different places. I mean, Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams did a great job of making three consequential trades, bringing in a whole lot of talent to this organization. The organization went out, brought in Luis Robert, which turned out to be a pretty good move. They made the trade for Moncada, which is really paying dividends. But I love what Lucas Giolito said after the ball game last night, which is how you build a winning organization. And that is, he said, we feel in a close game we're going to win it. That hasn't been said about a Sox team probably since 2005. And you don't know when it comes, because you have to have success to have confidence, yet you have to have confidence to have success. Somehow they're coming together in a very young team. The only thing and the only dark cloud on the horizon is the injuries. I mean, you're talking about at this point, you're talking about a rotation that's looking for another starter, possibly two. You're taking the batting title holder from last year and taking him out, and that's Tim Anderson. Madrigal got hurt, and Encarnacion got hurt. You can't predict injuries. You just have to hope you've got the depth to play your way through until they get healthy again, and that's what the Sox are dealing with now. But the winning of close games, Dan, is what separates the men from the boys, the contenders from the pretenders. And I think the Sox are starting to believe in themselves.
So what do we know briefly about the injuries now today? I imagine there's some reevaluation going on, and then what the plan would be to replace both of those guys.
Well, I'm not sure until they get to the actual results of being evaluated or reevaluated today that they really know exactly what's going to happen. I don't think that the loss for a few days, at least, of Encarnacion is going to be that consequential, because there's some guys on the bench who can swing the bat. And that designated hitter role, which is what Edwin fills, can be filled by other people. I think the loss of Madrigal at second base, when you see what he's been doing, you know, he's such a young player, yet he is a dependable glove man. He gives you some speed. He gave you a table setter in the number nine spot, even though he's only been up briefly. So you'd have to say that would be a loss. I mean, that's a loss both on both sides of the ball. I don't exactly know how this is going to play out. I'm not sure if anybody does at this point. But, you know, it helps to have 60 guys on call. As you know, there's no minor league baseball, but you do have 60 guys on call. It helps to have expanded rosters. And I understand that when they go from 30 to 28, they're not going to go to 26, which was the original plan. So that helps also. And, you know, it's really difficult because there's so much excitement. And there's so much revolving around the Sox and the start they've had this year. You hate to see it curtailed by injuries or any other way.
It isn't just our excitement. The excitement is coming from the clubhouse itself. It's coming from the organization. I remember vividly turning on a game in 1990. I was at a friend's house, and I remember how excited we were. I want to say it was the first game of a doubleheader in Milwaukee. And Alex Fernandez was pitching. Frank Thomas was playing first base. Robin Ventura was at third base. And these were all of these first-round picks that were there together for the first time. And I remember there was a pause in the game, and Hawk Harrelson said something. And he's like, Wimpy, look at this. We got Big Frank, we got Alex Fernandez, Robin Ventura. There's a pause. He just goes, yes. And it was this sort of moment of like, wow, they're all here. Not only are we getting that, we're actually seeing the performance right away, that they're out there materially affecting games. And I have to say, as a lifelong White Sox fan, it's been a long time since I've had something resembling that feeling of knowing that this is real.
One of the keys here, Dan, that, you know, it tends to be lost in all the excitement over Luis Robert and Eloy Jimenez and Yoan Moncada, is a situation that was playing out at the end of last season. Wasn't a good year, another disappointing year, just a third year in a five-year rebuild. And Jose Abreu's contract was coming to an end. And Jose Abreu said something that was really interesting. He says, I want to come back, and I'm paraphrasing, I want to come back so badly that if they don't sign me, I'm going to sign myself.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to come back because he had paid 3 years of extreme dues watching some very bad baseball, going out there and getting beaten like a rented donkey. And he figured, you know what? I think these young guys are going to start to play really good baseball, and I want to be around for it. I think he showed you over the last couple of days how much he means to this team. He is a consummate professional. He has been since the day he put on a White Sox uniform. He is the antithesis of a Cuban player. You've got Yasiel Puig on one end of the scale. You have Jose Abreu on the other end. He is respected and looked up to by all the players on this team, but especially the Latino players and especially the Cuban players. It was essential that he came back. The Sox facilitated that deal. I've never seen a guy who basically took away every bit of his negotiating leverage to tell the team, I don't care what you do, I'm coming back. And now we're seeing what Jose Abreu can do. That two-run homer that he hit against Burns, Burns was throwing fire. And he looked really tough, and no one really knew. You know, the last couple of years of a Sox team, they pack up the tent and they go back. It's not that they quit, it's just that they didn't have the talent. They were outmanned. And Jose hit the big two-run homer, and it tied up the ball game. And last night, Eloy took Woodruff, a really top-notch starting pitcher, their number one guy. He took him 421 feet to center field and tied up the game at two. Then Jose comes up, drives in what turned out to be the winning run. So there's a lot of great things happening. The team is wonderfully exciting. And, you know, we're just hoping it stays that way. I tend to believe it will, especially if the team can ever fully get back together again from the health issues. But if that's the case, what a wonderful year this is going to be. You know, I said a little something last year, and I was talking to people, and I said, I've got 2020 vision. I know it's just the fourth year of a five-year, but I got 2020 vision. I think good things are going to happen. And so far, again, it's early yet, but so far it has happened that way. But the excitement is permeating its way through the clubhouse. And if we had fans, the stands would be electric. And hopefully we will. But as we know, there's a long way to go yet.
So many roads lead back to the story that is Luis Robert, this just absolute god of a baseball player. I mean, he just looks like an anthropomorphic, idealized statue. I just can't tell you. You can't take your eyes off him out there. And the question now is, how do you use that speed on the base paths intelligently and without risk? Because he is elite fast, and he is also an instinctive base runner. Now, were it during your career, he'd steal 100 bases because that's just what you did, and that's where we thought the value was. And now they don't do that. And Ricky Renteria said it. He said, I'm not going to run him into an out if I don't have to. And it also keeps him from jamming a thumb or breaking a finger as he slides into a base. So how do they make sure that his speed matters, but in the right way?
Well, first of all, you know he wears the oven mitt on his hand to try to protect his hands. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you make a decision. The decision is based on the value to the ball club. There's a lot of managers, a lot of organizations don't want to run with their home run hitter. I mean, they just don't want to do that, even if the home run hitter happens to have speed. But Luis Robert is an exceptional case because if you're going to hit him leadoff, and you have to get back in the game, you're going to run them, but you're going to run them in key situations that's pretty much dictated. For instance, I've said that the one thing that this Brewer team gives you, whether it's Pena behind the plate or whether it's Narvaez, they give you the stolen base. And so you might as well take it. There's going to be some times where it's close. For instance, look, it's a mathematical formula, Dan. You understand that. We understand it very well, and we're leaning on this more and more. But the average pitcher will deliver the ball in 1.3 seconds from the stretch, 1.3 seconds. The average catcher will deliver the ball to second base from his glove to the time it hits the glove at second base in 2 seconds. That's 3-3. Combination is 3-3. So if the combination is lower than that, if the pitcher is quicker, if the catcher has good hands, good footwork, and gets it down there, if it's 3-1, you can't run. Odds of being safe are infinitesimal. If it's 3, forget it. If it's under 3, you might as well just throw the pitch. But if it's 3-3-5 or 3-4 or 3-5 or 6, here it is. Go get him. Narvaez is slow. He does not have a good arm. Pena is a little better, but still not good. So when you look at those numbers and then you see the acceleration that Robert has, which is unbelievable. It's one thing to be fast. It's another thing to have acceleration. Years and years ago, and I'll bring up two names. You might know one. You'll know both. But the Dodgers had Maury Wills. And they had the guy that Hawk named the one dog after, Willie Davis. Willie Davis's nickname was the three dog because he did look and run like a greyhound. But when you go from first to second to steal a base, those big strides, that great speed, didn't serve him as well as the quickness and the first step acceleration of Maury Wills. He dwarfed what Willie Davis could do on the bases. That's what Robert has. He has great speed, and he has magnificent first-step acceleration. He's at top speed when he takes that first step. It's really amazing to watch. And so if the numbers game dictate that he runs, he runs. He steals a base. He's got four of them. He's our entire running game at this point. But, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But, again, if he really goes on to be a guy that can hit 40 home runs a year, 45 home runs a year, you might want to just, you know, except in a game-winning situation, you throttle back a little bit on the stolen bases for him because he means so much to this team and will continue to mean more as he gets better and better.
Wasn't it Maury Wills' son, Bump, that you crossed paths with in a college game?
Yes, it was. He was leading off for the ASU team, and I was able to get him out twice in one inning, which is really good if you if you don't think about the 11 runs on 10 hits that I gave up, because leading off, I faced him, you know, first and 10th in that inning. And I remarked that if he hadn't been in the starting lineup, I might still be in that stadium pitching to ASU. But, you know, they were young kids who were aggressive, had no idea about pitch sequence or what I might be doing or why I would throw a 2-0 changeup. They went just wacko and took it someplace and went, geez, I can't go back to college. I can't pitch there anymore. Give me major league hitters. You could at least set them up on occasion.
I'm looking at the two lines for the two Dylan Cease starts, and I'm seeing what a difference it makes to be able to locate a fastball. It sounds so simple, but with stuff like this, he's got some margin for error if he's just, you know, within where he has to be at 98, 99.
Well, what that buys you, Dan, is a little bit more of getting away with a mistake. If you're at 92, 93, which is right now just about the average major league fastball, you're not going to get away with too many mistakes unless you have excellent deception. If you have excellent deception, you'll get away with more. 98, 99, you can get away a little bit more with mistakes. But Dylan Cease is going to be a high fastball pitcher. That's just what he does. He'll work down on occasion, but all things being equal, if you ask him to throw a fastball, it's going to be a high fastball. If it's top of the zone with life at 98, 99, not a lot of guys are going to hit it. But the big thing with him is a big thing with every pitcher, even guys without 99. Throw strike one, get ahead consistently, change speeds on occasion, and locate that fastball, and you're going to be in very good shape. That's what Dylan did last time out. That's the ability that he has. So you got to give him some time. He's still a very young pitcher. He's got elite tools. He's got number one man stuff. But you have a number one man in Giolito. You've got probably a 1A in Dallas Keuchel. And now you've got Cease coming up behind him and Kopech's coming back next year. And Dane Dunning has as good a control as anybody and hopefully his arm is 100%. So the future in the rotation is good. And everybody says this year, well, how's the pitching? Well, the pitching has been banged up. How is the pitching? They're going to try to make accommodations and see how it fits. But everybody talks about a trade, Dan, and it's a little too early to make a deal because teams really at this point, they've not accepted the fact they're not going to make it to the playoffs because you've got an expanded playoff round. You know, you've got 16. You can get there, and teams don't want to divest themselves of pretty good pitching. And plus, it took a while to build the young prospects on this team. And the last thing you want to do is go and get a consequential pitcher this year and give up some guys that will be part of your immediate future. It's one thing if you give up a young guy who's probably, you probably look at him and you say to yourself, okay, he's a year, year and a half away, maybe 2 years away. He's not the elite prospect, but he's just under that. You make the deals then. I mean, look, let's face it. The New York Yankees were beneficiaries of the Cubs needing Aroldis Chapman. And who'd they go out? They got Gleyber Torres. He's going to be a star for a long time. Theo paid dearly for Chapman, but he won a World Series with him. That's the kind of trade that you'll make. You'll give up an elite to win a World Series. Well, right now, if you're not the Yankees, you're not the Dodgers. You say we can get in the playoffs. You don't definitively win the World Series. And one dominant guy doesn't necessarily have to get you there, so you don't want to mortgage the future right now. You might have a different story if you're at the 28th of August, and all of a sudden this team looks like, well, it's a definitive playoff situation for them. And now you give up a little bit more to get those guys. But nobody's divesting themselves of controllable, long-term, great young arms right now. It's just not what's happening in baseball.
Lastly, as we let you go, I want to shine a spotlight on someone who we have taken for granted. I like doing that because sometimes people need to be reminded of the significance of a player because you just don't really talk about him. With a number of telegenic stars on this team that grab our attention, look at what Leury García is doing and what he's meant so far to come in at a critical defensive position. His slash line right now is .324, .375, .486. That is a weighted runs created plus of .150, and he's been worth nearly half a win. What a valuable asset he's been this year.
Well, I'll tell you what, when he was traded over here, we didn't know a whole lot about him, but I will credit A.J. Pierzynski because he told Hawk, he says, you know, you're getting a pretty good player with this guy. And we knew about the versatility. I mean, he can play everywhere. And look, let's face it. Realism says, is he going to be an asset defensively? Probably in the outfield, not the infield. And sometimes in the outfield, it's not that great. But the perfect player hasn't been invented. I mean, Mike Trout is Mike Trout, and he plays for the Angels. Leury doesn't have to be Mike Trout because he wasn't brought over here to be that. And he would have paid too dearly if he was. But for what he does, and the way he does it, this guy is really valuable to this team. Your shortstop goes down? Well, Leary can play some shortstop. Your right fielder's nicked up? You know, Leary can go out there. You need some help in center field for a short period of time? Yeah, Leary can go there, or left field, or second base. And again, not going to dazzle you with the glove, but he's got speed. He can hit from both sides. Woe is you if you get careless with a first ball fastball because he's going to hit it hard. And yes, he's become a very valuable member of this team and an unsung hero. And there's another one that we've been singing his praises more and more. When you look at stuff, you look at Aaron Bummer's stuff, compare him with anybody in baseball, and you can't find left-handers coming out of your bullpen throwing 96, 97 with the kind of sink that he has in a devastating slider.
Now, that's Chris Sale stuff. If you squint, that looks like Chris Sale.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in short periods of time, you're exactly right. And everybody says, well, the first thing is, well, can you start him? I don't know if you want to start him. He's so valuable at the back end of the bullpen. And the other logical thing is, if you lose Colome, can he close? We don't know that yet because right now he's in the perfect spot to serve an apprenticeship to eventually close. Is it closer stuff? Absolutely. Will it get better? Certainly. But closing is a mindset as much as it is a physical activity. And we don't know if that mindset is going to get it. We've seen a lot of great setup men that couldn't close. Now, I don't know if Aaron is one of those guys, and the jury will be out until they actually hand him the job. But right now, the combination of Colome at the back end, although he's adventuresome, he seems to get the job done. But Bummer, Colome, and Jimmy Cordero, another one of those acquisitions by the Sox that goes as an unsung hero, he's really come in to do the job, along with Evan Marshall. Evan Marshall, I mean, he was pounded for a couple of years, and the Sox went out, they got him. He had a rebirth here, so the back end of the bullpen is in great hands, and so far, everything is really working well.
Well, enjoying the broadcast as well. You guys have really come together. What a great time to be able to broadcast White Sox baseball. There's just so many guys that you feel compelled. You can't flip away because you got to watch them. So I know there's a lot of eyes and ears on you and Jason Benetti right now. Steve Stone, thank you. Continued good health.
Thanks, Dan. Have a good rest of the show, and you're right. Remember, 2020 vision, pal.
There it is. Steve Stone joins us on Wednesdays at 11 o'clock. Coming up next, we found some sound that I found fascinating that I wanted to bring to you. And it gets back to what we were talking about at 10:20 with our hockey guest, Ken Danico, talking about how to defend Connor McDavid tonight and what they're doing and what they're thinking. There's some really good stuff from Duncan Keith in a way you don't normally hear him. And you haven't heard this. You're going to next on The Score.
Start your day with Chicago's Sports Morning Show. Mully and Hall, live at 5. Covering the stories that matter to Chicago sports fans. Bears, Cubs, Sox, Bulls, Blackhawks. They're live and they're local. Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score. A radio.com sports station.
This is Damon Amendolara with your Radio.com Sports Minute.
Actual sports are back, so we're in the home stretch of our sports movie analysis. But with a fresh look at the 1994 film Angels in the Outfield, it's time to ask a very pertinent question. Where was the L.A. press on this one? How soft is the SoCal media? I mean, manager George Knox is headbutting and fighting his own pitcher, leading to an in-house brawl during the game. He's sucker-punching the team's play-by-play announcer. He's running over mid-game to talk to a 10-year-old to get managerial decisions. He's switching his starting pitcher right before the national anthem and going to veteran Nell Clark, who's actually on the injured reserve, and then essentially gives the kid a uniform and makes him the bench coach. Should the LA Times or every radio and TV station in the market be banging down Knox's door for answers? What is going on here in Boston or Philly? That would never fly. This is Damon Amendolara.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
My name is Noah Feldman. I'm the host of a new podcast called Deep Background. I'm a Harvard Law professor and a Bloomberg columnist. I testified at the House impeachment hearings. So I both study the news and have, on occasion, even contributed to making it. In each episode of Deep Background, I interview an expert or a policymaker to explore the historical, scientific, legal, or cultural context behind the headlines. You can find Deep Background on radio.com or wherever you like to listen.
Feed your happy at Champaign Area Hardee's by biting into a Western Bacon Cheeseburger for just $1.50 every Wednesday. A juicy charbroiled burger with crunchy onion rings, melty cheese, and tangy barbecue sauce. Make it spicy with melty pepperjack cheese and jalapenos for only 50 cents more. Hardee's famous Western Bacon Cheeseburger, just $1.50 every Wednesday. Offer good at participating Champaign Area locations through August 19th. Tax not included, one order per guest. Limit 4 single cheeseburgers per order.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
Listen to Lawrence Holmes weekdays noon to 2 on The Score.
Charles Peanut Tillman.
I know a ton of law enforcement officers, a ton, not a few, I know a ton, that do their job and they do it the right way. And a lot of them are federal, a lot of them are local, some of them are state. They do their job the right way. And I'm not saying that all police and that, no, I'm not, that is not what I'm saying. I'm just saying the ones that I've had a chance to be around and I know, they do their job the right way. And I'm very grateful for that. I'm grateful for them and for what they do and for them risking their necks, keeping me safe at night. I'm very grateful for them and for what they have done.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com on radio.com sports station.
Radio.com has everything you need to stay informed and keep you entertained at home, at work, or on the go. Hear what's going on in your community and the nation with local and national news from CNN, Fox News, and more. Need a break? Radio.com has hundreds of music, sports, and talk stations to keep you going through your day. Love podcasts? Radio.com has thousands of true crime, documentary, comedy podcasts, and more. Listen at Radio.com, the Radio.com app, or your favorite smart speakers and connected devices.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gracias.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gracias, Dimas.
Thank you.
Gracias.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
On behalf of the Chicago Cubs, a big thank you to all the healthcare workers, first responders, and those working at essential businesses who are keeping us safe, healthy, and happy during these very trying times. We're all in this together.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bless us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all for your hard work.
Gracias.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just want to say the biggest thank you to all of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon.
Vincent Goodwill.
Well, one thing I'll say about Michael Reinsdorf is this, and I firmly believe this. He has a famous last name, but is a pretty anonymous person throughout all of this. But he's very sensitive to the success of the franchise. I truly believe he wants to win. And I think he has a chance here to make a name for himself, to step outside of Jerry Reinsdorf's shadow while Jerry is still here and making the final decisions. That's a very tricky process. And I don't think that we can all appreciate the fine line that he has to walk, that he's trying to walk here. And making a decision like this means you have to have a bunch of people on board and behind you. And whether it works or not, I think just the fact that he's willing to go through a top-down overhauling of basketball operations says a lot about his desire to want to get this thing right.
Dan Bernstein, weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. Dan Bernstein will be back in 60 seconds on 670 The Score.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
McNeil and Parkins, afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
Bears head coach Matt Nagy.
We figured we'd go down there into my basement, and that wallpaper is the play call sheets from the 2018 season. It was a perfect time during the draft to do that, and there was more space. But right now, all they're getting is the backdrop of my office that I'm in my home office.
McNeil and Parkins, afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
Napa know-how.
Get all the quality parts you need at your locally owned Napa. Because right now, when you order from Napa online, you can pick up curbside at your local store in just 30 minutes. Or get your order delivered direct to your door with free one-day shipping on over 160,000 quality parts when you spend $35 or more. Quality parts, delivered quickly and safely. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating stores, standard ground shipping and exclusions apply.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
They clear it around. Here's Nugent Hopkins, who's passed, deflected, they score! Picked up by the hit of Blackhawk stick, and we'll see, but the Oilers come through the power play, and they're back in front.
McDavid should get credit for it, and yes, it will be the third of the night.
And that meant that NHL staffers walked down and sort of forlornly and perfunctorily tossed hats onto the ice to validate the hat trick of Connor McDavid, who's really, really good at hockey. And if we were, you were listening earlier, you heard Ken Danico, the longtime three-time cup-winning defenseman, 20-year NHL player. He calls Connor McKnight McJesus. He says he's never seen anything like him before, and he was comparing him to Mario Lemieux, but saying he's faster than Lemieux. He compared him to Gretzky, but says he's faster, that they've never seen speed like that out there on the ice. And I mentioned a report that Scott Powers did, and I retweeted it, and you'd want to get a look at it. Just yesterday, we were talking about the kind of hockey analysis we want. Well, Scott Powers of The Athletic did it, and he did a great job breaking down what went wrong on that first goal with video and with still shots and slow-mo, and explaining at each step of the way what the decision tree looked like, what Duncan Keith could have done had he known where his teammates were, and the right way to communicate some of these things. If you want to be a smarter hockey fan, seek out that piece by Scott Powers, because it's really good. And Duncan Keith knows that he's in tough against Connor McDavid, and he was recently a guest on the Spit and Chicklets podcast, and he talked about how to slow this kid down.
He's just so fast, right? So, you know, I don't know how every time you see him go by a guy, it's kind of like it's when the guy's not always flat-footed, but a lot of the time, if you can, I feel like watch him gaining speed and watch him as the play is going on and keep an eye on him out of the corner of your eye. Sometimes that's not always easy to do, but he likes to get that puck with speed, whether that's coming out of the zone or in the neutral zone. You see a few clips there, even on Instagram, just in their scrimmages. Like, as soon as there's a turnover, he's winding up and he wants that puck with speed. He gets it, and it's just like he's gone. You can't catch him, or you can't slow him down if you're not mirroring him or have just as much or anticipating that speed coming at you. So I will say, like, he's the fastest guy by far that I've ever played against. And Marian Gaborik was pretty fast back in the day. There was lots of guys, but this is just like a whole nother level, really, with his change of speed, his ability to puck handle while he's skating, and, you know, use his teammates and, you know, cut side to side, his lateral agility. So I don't know. For me, it's just trying to anticipate when he's going to get that puck in certain areas of the ice.
I don't know. I got a little Bob from Niles in him. Duncan from Niles there. I don't know. Yeah, it's the speed in the hands. That the second goal, when he just went through everybody, and to roof it backhand that casually, that the finish on that, and even looking at where Corey Crawford was and having no chance because he's in that tight and just snap roofs a backhander after moving at that speed is absolutely insane. And also,
I don't know how
cool is it that he says he's using Instagram videos to look at some of his opponents, and a Marian Gaborik reference that's dropped in there as well. I want you to hear this too, because Keith expanded on some of this, talking about his adjustment to not only the Blackhawks roster churn, becoming a much younger team, but what he has had to accept as far as a different role under a new head coach.
I guess a little frustration set in. I think it might have been Q's last full year. You know, we were pretty bad team there. We had an accountant in net sakes one of the games, you know, and he got pulled out of his job doing that. And it was just a bad year. And so it's that time where the organization, where we were so good for so long, and then it's all of a sudden like, holy, like, you know, we're not the team we used to be, you know? And so I think I let that affect my game for a few years, but I feel like I turned it around mentally and just kind of accepted the fact that we're a younger team now, and I've enjoyed that role, but I still feel that I can still be at my best. I feel like I'm in great shape. I feel like I'm training harder than I've ever trained. I enjoy the training, so that's not an issue, but I still feel good on the ice. It's just, you know, it's frustrating, you know, when I guess you had different opportunities with different coaches, and you know, every coach is going to have their guy or who people that they believe in, and that's just the way it is, you know. And so finally, I think once that trade deadline came and we ended up trading Erik Gustafsson, I got more ice time, and so I felt like I could show what I could have been doing all along. And Gus is a good player, and he's good offensively, and the coach wanted him to use him there and on the power play. And I think that, you know, those things they're like that with every player goes through certain things like that, and the team too. And so you got to respect that, and you still have to do your best for whatever role you're in. But I just know that if I'm in a role where I'm relied upon as the guy, then I play better. And I did that the last month of the regular season, and I got to carry it into playoffs here.
Confident stuff from a proud and talented defenseman. That is that's candid in a way we don't usually hear him. Some real insight into how he feels as an aging player on a young team, and now as the guy quarterbacking the power play once again, we saw some success with him actually taking that shot, getting that closer to the net. And apparently texters are pointing out that I misspoke, and I called Connor McDavid Connor McKnight. Also McJesus for obviously for different reasons. Also great hands and insane speed as well. This segment is brought to you by Grand Appliance and TV. Now through August 12th, get extra savings of up to $500 on top of the area's guaranteed lowest appliance prices exclusively at Grand Appliance. Shop in store or at grandappliance.com to save today. Grand Appliance, trusted in Chicagoland since 1930. Next, we'll be joined by marquee Cubs reporter Taylor McGregor, her first visit to our show. So keep it here on The Score.
McNeil and Parkins, Chicago's most listened to afternoon sports radio show, covering all of Chicago's teams, from the daily wins and losses to the biggest moments in Chicago sports history. Listen in your car, on your ride home from work, or from your smart speaker on the radio.com app at home. Mac and Parkins, Chicago's most listened to afternoon sports radio show, 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
This is the sound of a Blizzard treat at DQ, but it also sounds like a weekend bike ride, a post-game celebration, and a sunset on the dock. Wow, doesn't a Blizzard treat sound good? Stop by DQ and grab one today, like new Oreo fudge brownie. Thanks for being the sweetest fans in the world. DQ, happy tastes good.
Yeah, we're all busy with important things to do. But don't forget, it's also important to laugh. Laughing keeps you sane. So for your sanity's sake, check out Comedy Now on radio.com.
After college, I moved into my own apartment. It's near where my parents live. It's across the hallway.
Comedy Now plays nonstop stand-up comedy from the best comedians in America.
I'll tell you what place I like on the plane is that little bathroom. It's like your own little apartment on the plane.
Listen to Comedy Now anytime on radio.com, on your desktop, smart speakers, or the free radio.com app.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Do you belong in the Hall of Fame, Sammy? And why? Do you have a conclusion as to the reason you're not in?
The numbers don't lie. You know, I play every day. I put in a lot of time into my career. I play hard every day. I did everything that I had to do. Of course, I belong to the Hall of Fame.
Mully and Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
New home ownership can be a real eye-opener, but it's the perfect time to look into Homeowner 101 from The Home Depot. Free live streaming workshops taught by expert associates, now at homedepot.com/workshops. You'll find indoor and outdoor workshops, even home systems workshops. Plus, you'll get the know-how you need to care for your biggest investment. Master the basics at Homeowner 101, only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Register now at homedepot.com/workshops.
Wow, wasn't it nice to see all the guys back out on the court over the weekend? We're excited to see what week two of the basketball restart has in store for all of us. And if that's not enough excitement, DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is offering you a shot at a share of millions of dollars every day this week. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy basketball is easy to play. You pick 8 players, you stay under the salary cap, and you pile up points for three-pointers, rebounds, assists, and more. There's no better way to put your basketball knowledge to the test than to compete for a share of millions of dollars. But if basketball isn't for you, don't worry. DraftKings is offering plenty of fantasy golf action for tomorrow's major. Get in on the action before they tee off tomorrow for a shot at a $1 million top prize. And with millions of dollars up for grabs this week, there's no better place to have skin in the game than with DraftKings. So download the DraftKings app now. Use promo code Chicago to get a shot at millions of dollars in prizes every day this week. That's promo code Chicago to get a shot at millions of dollars in prizes every day this week, only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Join Lawrence Holmes and me, Maggie Hendricks, as we do the Ride for Life 10,000 together. Cycle, walk, run, dog walk, hike, swim, even log your steps at home. Anyone can join at any level with a goal that's meaningful to you. Stay active and support TPAN, saving lives and empowering people affected by HIV and AIDS. Go to rideforlifechicago.org to join or donate.
Feed your happy at Champaign Area Hardee's by biting into a Western Bacon Cheeseburger for just $1.50 every Wednesday. A juicy charbroiled burger with crunchy onion rings, melty cheese, and tangy barbecue sauce. Make it spicy with melty pepperjack cheese and jalapenos for only 50 cents more. Hardee's famous Western Bacon Cheeseburger, just $1.50 every Wednesday. Offer good at participating Champaign Area locations through August 19th. Tax not included, one order per guest. Limit 4 single cheeseburgers per order.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the... Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We'll be right back with more Dan Bernstein in 60 seconds on The Score.
Things are opening up and the roads are slowing down. Remember the quickest way to stay informed. WBBM Traffic and Weather together on the 8s. Exclusively on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Chicago's weather station.
Did you know there are over 1,000 podcasts on Radio.com? Download the app or head to Radio.com to listen to all your favorite national and local podcasts, including your favorite morning shows and radio shows on demand. At the top of the app homepage, click the podcast icon to discover new shows, subscribe, and manage your podcast subscriptions. Go to your app store or Radio.com/download for all your podcast listening. Radio.com.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon.
Cubs Radio play-by-play legend Pat Hughes.
Win or lose, there is always attention. There is always a great media presence. And there are always fans. There's just, it's never easy, but it's never boring. Not one bit. I tell people also, you have to learn to operate independently from the hysteria that is Cubs baseball. I think a lot of fans out there, Dan, when the Cubs win two or three in a row, it's, we're going all the way. Yep. And those same fans, when the team loses three or four in a row, well, wait till next year. And you just can't live that way if you are part of what we are, which is broadcasting and covering the team pitch by pitch, day by day, season by season.
Dan Bernstein, weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a Radio.com sports station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Even the crowd noise, the fake crowd noise is nervous. I can tell. I can hear it.
Nice play, Bryant. Throw to first. Cubs win. Wow. That ball was hit like a rocket, and Bryant made it look easy, and the Cubs sweep the two-game series and the five-game homestand.
Wow, deep breath, exhale. Namaste.
Namaste, indeed. That the Marquee Sports Network final call of yesterday's Cubs victory, and part of that Marquee Sports Network broadcast joins us now. Taylor McGregor is on Twitter at Taylor_McGregor. She's on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park, and I believe she is the last woman working in full-time Chicago sports media at the moment. Taylor, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about you? That call from last night kind of brought back some emotion. It's these late-inning games. There's been no shortage of entertainment.
No, it's been fun so far, and I know you guys are kind of sort of feeling your way through the broadcasts, and it's got to be difficult for you because of all that would be going on with a full building where you can talk and find, you know, fans and celebrities and promotions and everything else. How are you making yourself matter in an empty ballpark?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's something that I've had to navigate and kind of adjust on the fly. I think the hardest part is just not having direct access to the players and being able to go into the clubhouse and get little nuggets on different things. So it's a lot more research probably than I usually would do, just trying to find the connections and being really prepared in advance, knowing, hey, this, you know, these guys have a relationship. How am I going to set up an interview for that a few days in advance? Because like I said, it can't just be the day of, or you can walk into the clubhouse and have a conversation. So a lot of preparation before and just trying to get innovative with the way that we do it. I've been watching other shows, seeing how they're doing it, because we're all learning on the fly. So trying to make the most out of it, but it definitely is challenging and hard.
I wonder what the fact that we're able to hear so much now from the field and from the dugout, and the Cubs are so damn loud. I mean, they're all of the catcalling and the fun that they're having down there. You have obviously more proximity than we do, but I would think there's stuff to be had from the energy that they're creating for themselves in that dugout.
Yeah, that's been a cool story for the Cubs, but throughout all of baseball. I mean, I have had players tell me that guys on other teams are reaching out to them saying, hey, what's going on over there? You know, how are you guys so energetic, and why are you so energetic? But I think it's an undervalued almost part of this team because of the nature of the season and how important it is to play loose. And I think it's a part of their success this season. It's how much fun that they're having in the dugout, and I can certainly feel that being 20 rows up behind the dugout, and I think fans at home can as well through our broadcast. So it's been fun to see that for sure.
How much autonomy do you have once the game starts to wander around a little bit and to have that dialogue with the truck and say, you know what, I want to try this, or give me a shot at this? And how much has to be very carefully pre-planned?
It all has to be carefully pre-planned. And I think the challenging part about this season is there's a lot of unknowns for everybody, and it doesn't seem to be a clear answer. You know, it's kind of, we're all adjusting on the fly. And there's certain things that I'm so accustomed to being able to do as a reporter. And this year, I just can't do that because of the nature of the protocols and stuff. So I feel like it's constantly changing of, hey, you can do this, you can't do this. So I just kind of sit back and I'll present my request and see what's accepted. But I think for the most part, the Cubs have been really accommodating for us while also maintaining the protocols incredibly strictly, which we've seen, heard and talked about around the league of how well they've done in doing that. I mean, the only known team to not have any positive cases amongst the players is awesome. So I think they've done a really good job of balancing everything.
What kind of whirlwind has this whole experience been for you? I can't even imagine. I can't imagine taking this job, moving to Chicago, and then this happens. You know, and it, everybody's got some kind of story, but to have it be already a sort of a year of upheaval for you professionally, already something transitional, and now you're dealing with something completely unforeseen. You ever take time and just stop and say, God, what the hell did I get into here?
Basically every day, yeah. Welcome to my life. You know, I think really since everything got shut down in March, I had moved out of my house in Denver and was going to move all of my stuff to Chicago in March. And then when all this happened, I was kind of living out of a suitcase the whole time out of my mom's house. And then I get here and it's completely different than what I had envisioned. What everybody had envisioned. And there's still so many protocols and stuff outside of work that we have to follow. And so everything that I'm used to doing with my routine and even my social life, I'm just not doing. And so it's definitely been different. But I think on the flip side of that, there have been moments where I've had to sit back and say, you know what, this is a very unfortunate situation, but I'm so thankful to be in Wrigley Field and be one of the only people in here. I mean, I remember sitting up in the left field bleachers opening weekend and just being like, how did this happen? You know, how am I sitting in this historic ballpark with nobody else here? It was a surreal moment. So I've been trying to take in those experiences to go along with some of the craziness that we've all had to endure.
And it does seem like that there is some energy that surrounds this team. We hear reports of Cub fans who are hanging out outside Wrigley Field to give some applause to players as they walk to their car after home games. It's obviously not like it used to be, but in that neighborhood, being as different and unique and special as it is, there's still some sort of postmodern, in a time of pandemic, still people needing that connection to a team that's making a lot of people happy right now.
Yes, and the players feel it. That's what's been cool is I talk to a lot of the guys who say we can hear them chanting our name from the rooftop, and when you walk out and you know they're applauding you, and bringing that energy, that makes a big difference. Like I was talking about with the energy inside of the dugout, sometimes I just feel like it's undervalued. But to just have that little pick-me-up from the fans, whether it be the rooftops or, like you mentioned, just walking down the stadium, that plays a huge, huge role. And, you know, there's always the argument, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Is it winning or is it having fun? And I really think in the case of the Cubs, they had an atmosphere of loose. They love playing around each other, and that has been success. And then the fans are part of that as well. So it's been a lot of fun. And like I said, kind of forced me to appreciate everything that we have this year.
Who on the Cubs, despite all of your research upon getting this job, who has been the most surprisingly interesting or fun who you didn't expect?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question. You know, I think Chris Bryant was a player that everybody knew for so long, and he's made the headlines for what he has done baseball-wise. But I guess I didn't realize how genuine of a person he was, and maybe I just hadn't spent enough time watching interviews closely. But he surprised me with just his genuine responses to his answer, how thoughtful he is, how caring he is. I'll never forget at spring training the first time I met him. He started asking me questions about myself, which for people in the sports industry, like, you just know that doesn't happen. It's usually you're the one asking the players all the questions, but he cared to know about me. And so I just think that plays into his genuine persona. So that's probably one example. I mean, there's a lot of guys who you knew from afar, or you knew all from afar. And I would say, getting to know them, there's probably different things about all of them that I didn't expect, but that's probably the one that stands out the most.
Yeah, no, I agree with you too, and we noted it in spring training and beyond how assertive Bryant has been. And now that he's a veteran player, he was a part of our show for a long time when he was first getting started as a regular guest and contributor, and he sounded so youthful. He sounds older and wiser now, and he's unafraid to stick to his guns on stuff, and I love it, because I think he's sort of a, you know, fully actualized veteran star, which is really cool to see.
Yeah, for sure. And I think those veteran players, they have an opportunity to really make a difference with their platform within the game and outside of it. And he's definitely done that. So I couldn't agree with you more.
Taylor McGregor, thanks for joining us, and continued good health to you.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me on. It was nice to talk to you.
That is Taylor McGregor of Marquee Sports Network among our guests today. She joined Jerry DiNardo and Mike Florio, Ken Danico, and Steve Stonio, all our guests today. Tomorrow, Ian Happ at 9:30. We're also going to talk NFL with Shalice Monzi-Young of Yahoo, Midday Midway, and more. Coming up next, Lawrence Holmes. He's got Len Casper at 12:20. He's got Anthony Herron at 1 o'clock. And Gabby Williams of the Chicago Sky will be his guest at 1:25. So keep being smart out there, and we'll get better. This too shall pass if we wear our masks and we do what doctors are telling us to do. So listen to them, and listen to the people who listen to them, and we'll be on to better things very, very shortly. We'll be back tomorrow at 9 to talk sports and other stuff. Goodbye.
Hey, Score sports betting analyst Joe Ostrowski here. Join me for Early Odds, Saturdays from 8 to 9 a.m., where I cover the latest on the ever-growing sports betting landscape. We went so long without much to bet on, but now we have baseball, basketball, hockey, golf majors, soccer, horse racing, with football around the corner. Early Odds, Saturday mornings, 8 to 9, on Sports Radio 670, The Score, a Radio.com sports station.
Brought to you by Hawthorne Racecourse. Download the app at clubhawthorneapp.com.
Hey, it's Jay Zawoski, and speaking of gambling, more sports are back every day. Baseball, hockey, basketball, football's around the corner, and I'm looking forward to spending a lot less time watching old games and TV reruns, and I'm thrilled to be back watching real live sports again. And this time around, I'm betting all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook. If you're looking for a better way to bet your favorite sports online, check out FanDuel Sportsbook. It's America's number one sportsbook for a reason. They have more ways to win. If you can dream it, you can probably bet it through FanDuel Sportsbook. FanDuel offers spreads, parlays, money lines, overs, unders, props, and in-game bets, all in an easy-to-use app. Speaking of those in-game bets, I'm about to place one on this here hockey game that's in the first intermission right now. And when you win, you'll receive your winnings in your bank account in as little as 48 hours through their safe and secure process. And by combining your FanDuel Sportsbook account with your FanDuel Fantasy account, you have the ability to use your winnings across both products. That's a really cool feature. So check out the FanDuel Sportsbook app. FanDuel, more ways to win. Must be 21+. Location and other restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com.